Yeah, it's that coming up from the bottom, day one, dollar zero type shit. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. Really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a bus, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. Really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a bus, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I can never take a day, y'all. Turn your baby mama crib into a stash spot. And we moving more aggressive than the last.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, dude?
How's it going?
Just making sure you had my mic on. I saw yours wasn't on.
I know. No,
so
one
I don't
want to
make
that.
The same mistake. You ever yell into a muted mic? It feels so weird.
Yeah, it does. Crash and burn.
Happy right Friday, out of the man. Gate.
Happy Friday, man. How you been?
Good.
Yeah, it's been a great week.
Super busy week.
Uh-huh.
Super productive.
Yep.
We're going to talk about that today. I'm going to let you do the intro with what we're talking about today.
Let's do it.
You were like, hey, this is a great... We were chatting the other day about some stuff. And we were chatting... Man, we were chatting with some agents even today about some things. And not good or bad, just things.
Mm-hmm.
Perspective, work ethic, pace,
mm-hmm.
a lot
mm-hmm.
of stuff. But I'm going to let you start. Yeah. You start this one. Normally, yeah. I hog it, don't I?
No, it's good, man. I like it. So we were having a conversation the other day, man, just about a lot of things. So just to give people a little context in terms of, just our business right now, man, we're doing a ton of transactions. So we're very much in the business. We're very much on the business as well too, which is unique. We're in that phase of, man, we're in it and we're on it at the same time. And our agent attraction side is growing a ton, and we've been putting a lot of agents in our network who were helping grow their business and teaching them, you know, how we've done the things that we've done.
Correct.
And what's interesting is, like, from your past, you have a completely different perspective in terms of leadership and capacity and workloads on people and taking guys from being in, you know, a certain type of person in one place and bringing them to this completely other place, way more so than I have. So your experience there is just really interesting, some of the comments and stuff that you make. So we were talking just about capacity and workloads and, you know, what someone is able to handle and what they're not able to handle and breaking them off and fucking them up a little bit, you know,
but not fucking them up intentionally, fucking them up by just the nature of the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, there was an agent that we've got getting spun up on some things and going through some testing and, wants to do some showing specialist stuff for us and just really dive in and cool. Right. So I'll meet you where your pace is at or where you think it's at. And yeah, we were talking and so agent did some stuff and then wasn't with you the entire day, was with you just for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember what we were talking about last night or the other day when you were talking about, I think, going on virtuals as well.
Yep.
And you said something. I said, yeah, man, and more. Give that person more.
Load them up.
And I said, hey, man, in addition to, you know, contextually what they're learning as far as, like, what you explain while we're on showings and going through all of that and the learning curve of the actual job, you're also teaching that person pace. And I explained it to, you know, kind of like some different school training in the Marine Corps on a leadership level. And then, like, even when I went through the police academy and you get out into field training officer program where you're with a couple of different officers for 6 months and you progressively get more and more and more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And they were super, super strict on a lot. And I don't know what it is over there now, but when I was going through and the officers that I had, I felt like I was pretty locked on. I felt like my work ethic is good. My attention to detail is good. But when you're new, you're going to falter on that, right? Like, because my skill set from the Marine Corps or government work was a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences when it comes to police work. So your ability to have attention to detail and certain things and where you're going to meet mental fatigue, you're going to take a step back in some of that, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're just new to stuff. So you're going to get mental fatigue sooner than maybe normal because some things just aren't habitual for you yet. Mm-hmm. You just haven't calloused yourself to certain work. But they were really good at attention to detail and holding a standard. And I would watch officers that were around us, not in FTO program, just already officers, not adhering to the same level, you know, and just being me. I asked one of my instructors one time, I go, because we had a pretty good relationship and he respected some things from my background. And I think those guys had, they were still uber hard on me, but I think they were able to have conversations in the cop car with me that were maybe different than just some young whippersnapper.
Yeah, a little more peer-to-peer.
Yeah, not quite peer-to-peer, but they have some questions on what my experiences was like in the Marine Corps and different certain things. And so, yeah, in that sense, but like curiosity. But I also respected leadership, right? Like if they were growing up with me and having conversations with me, I would intentionally not get laxed or not. Like I would triple down on everything I was doing just to make sure they knew like it's okay to talk to them like that because I'm not going to abuse that relationship. Anyway, I asked him, like, hey, there's these cops out here that are already clearly past FTO, that are already cops on the street running their own cars, and but, hey, they're not running as tight of a ship. And one of my instructors was like, yeah, man, we got to triple down on how strict we are with you guys because we know the second you get out of FTO, over time, you're going to reduce your work ethic. You're going to cut some corners. You're going to – there is a couple ways to shortcut stuff. There's a couple, you know, like with paperwork or – with not having to do certain things with collecting evidence and stuff. And hey, if we don't get you to the max and give you the parameter of like, hey, this is the actual 100% right way to do it. If you don't even have that in the first place, you're already in trouble. Secondly, we got to take you there because we know everyone's going to dip down. So if we dip down an FTO program, knowing you guys are going to dip down a little bit on your own standard, well, now how low is the standard? How low is it? So he's like, man, we expect cops to get out in the street and kind of do that. So if we bring them this high, but they dip a bit, they're still adequate. They're still proficient. And I'm not talking about like the cops are abusing people or whatever, right? Like I'm not even getting into that. It's disgusting, right? Like it's just not, it's never acceptable. I'm talking like just how they approach the job and how they, you know, do certain things. And it just made sense. You know, I'm like, yeah, like we were inadvertently kind of doing that in the Marine Corps without even necessarily like thinking it. Cause when you're training Marines, it's like, you guys are going on deployment, you could die.
Yep.
So we're going to give you everything and then some for this reason, because you don't want them slacking at all while they're there. So it was like, we got to the same destination for different ideology, but I like them. Like when you and I were talking the other day, it's like, hey man, keep in mind everything that this person is learning, you know, as far as like just the craft, we got to push them on how they can retain knowledge. I got to be making sure that they're taking notes and absorbing everything that they can. But in addition to that, don't send them home early.
Yep.
And don't not have them there.
Yep.
Like you're also teaching them the pace at which we're running and what it takes to be successful to get your business from the ground up. Mm-hmm. Right. And when people, we'll get into this today too, but when people talk about, you know, they're prepared to do whatever it takes, I had no idea. I've had idea in my life of like how people could like say something but not quite mean the same thing. One that surprises me a little bit that I'm kind of like seeing a little bit is like when people tell you or tell themselves that like they're prepared to do whatever it takes. I had no idea how different that can be in their mind versus my mind. Cause like, or your mind. Cause like whatever it takes. And this isn't even just Marine Corps shit. This is just DNA. I don't know, but it's self-initiated. But if I say I will do whatever it takes, I think my perspective on myself and what that means is just different than
a lot of people. I agree.
So you were teaching that person the, you know, the pace of some things, and you're going to be taking them out here soon as well. And like, and that's good, man. I love like development of agents. We're also learning like best time spent of like who gets that time and, you know, cause we've also got a lot of agents around us, man, that can teach basic fundamentals to agents that have never done a deal. If you've never done a deal, you don't need Will and Eli. I'm not saying that to be a dick. I'm saying that because there's other agents that are new into leadership that can more than assist you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're helping people and what our level is right now is and where our best time spent is at with leadership is really helping other teams develop their team. Because if they've got new team leaders, but they've learned how to do the deals. They learned some work ethic. They're committed. They're there. There's some evidence that they're there. They've made it to the league. Cool. Now it's just more about developing their leadership and their ability to teach whatever they feel they know well, in addition to some additional skill sets we can give them. But it's interesting, man. I think, and people can probably even feel me being different on this podcast today. And I'm not angry. I'm not upset. Like, I'm heavy-hearted. I'm paused, you know, because you and I shoulder a lot to help. And we'd really try to pour into people and make sure we're doing everything that we've signed up to do for them to commit, you know, and anything I mentioned, by the way, like it's with the best of intention, and there's nobody I'm angry at. It's teaching youngsters perspective. It's teaching them to not talk themselves out of things. It's also just teaching them and allowing them the process of growing into a real work ethic, mm-hmm. growing into a whatever it takes mentality. Mm-hmm. I do think like when people say that, they say it for the level they know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But until you've gone further or sacrificed more than I think you are even realizing, like even realizing you could, you don't really know what you don't know, you yeah. know, but like, yeah, man, if I've got guys that want to scale their business, but I've also got guys that don't make it to events, I ponder that because it's like good dudes, super good dudes, you know, and excited. And it's like, hey, this is not a real estate thing. This is a mentality shift. This is a, you know, are you looking for reasons to dive in and do things, or are you looking for reasons to why it can't work? And not even maliciously, but just, you know, with that mindset. But I pause, man, because I want to make sure that my delivery to people is, mm-hmm. is appropriate. You know, but at the same time, I remember how it was for me mm-hmm. growing up with law enforcement or, sorry, excuse me, prior to that, like in the Marine Corps. Mentality, work ethic, commitment, tenacity, coupled with as you grow. Like that was the initial parts of the Marine Corps, right? Just the mentality of it, the work ethic to it, the commitment of it. That shit gets branded into your mm-hmm. fucking soul, bro. Mm-hmm. And as you grow and become successful in the Marine Corps, you've got really good small unit leaders at every level in the Marine Corps. And the Marine Corps, especially the infantry, prides itself on trusting in the ability and adequacy and proficiency of small unit leadership because of how well your officer corps and NCO and staff NCO pour into junior Marines. And as you start becoming more accomplished, like you'll have meritorious promotions. It's not just your time in service and have you done all your college. Mm-hmm. You get meritorious promotions. You're a badass. You have a capacity for more. You are responding well to training. You are learning how to lead Marines and you're proficient. When they're training you for deployments, like, dude, guys can die. You can die. So we need the most proficient dudes that are ready to step up and make their fucking mark because lives are at stake. Even just saving people in those other countries, like, it's real. There is no, you know, and I know this playing favorites. I know the politics of, well, so-and-so is a squad leader because he knows so-and-so. That isn't everything. Police right. work, military. But when it's wartime, I'd like to think it's very minimal because the best guy for the job has to be there. And you're either going to step up and take control or you're not. And you've seen, dude, they've had staff NCOs get not demoted in rank, but get taken out of certain billets because they were not proficient at leading. You know, and like, as I grew in the Marine Corps and started taking on some leadership skill sets and proving that I had a capacity for more, I was then rewarded with the responsibility of more. And I say that how specifically for a reason. But none of that comes without not being able to operate and be proficient with oneself.
Yep, yep.
If you don't know how to disassemble and assemble machine guns, if you don't know how to clean your gear, if you don't know how to get up on time, if you don't know how to shoot at a certain level, at an mm-hmm. expert level, if you don't know how to operate tactical land nav during the day and the night, like if there's things that you just can't handle, even with leading yourself, you're not getting anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I feel like there's a lot of guys that are like learning how to lead with themselves. And like, I'm kind of on the fence with things, as you know, because it's like, I want to give benefit of doubt. And I do because you know, the guys that are around us, and this isn't just the two motherfuckers that we're talking to today. Cause I know if they're listening to this podcast, I know you two fuckers, you two young hustlers, if you're listening, it's not just you two. So yeah, don't be weird. Yeah,
right? Well, and man, there's plenty of fucking 40-year-olds that operate like that too.
Yes. And to the people that are around us that are within our team, they might be listening to this always in first person. Mm-hmm. It's not. So, mm-hmm. relax.
However, but listen in first person. Yeah. Yes, but yeah. It maybe it's not specifically, you know, about you, but still taking a mm-hmm. first person account to something is always right. good.
But it's good to dig deep and really out, like just question yourself as far as like, hey, what is willing to do whatever it takes mean? Right? Like, because if you're finding reasons to not do things versus do things, you know, shit. And that's why the 75 hard challenge is cool. Like Andy Frisella created that, and your 45-minute workout outside, mm-hmm. you know, like it's non-negotiable. And, you know, and like he tells you, this is not a weight loss challenge. This is not a fitness challenge. This is a life challenge. And if you approach, because he's forcing responsibility into you, yep. and you have no way to not do it. And it's cool. But yeah, man, I struggle because I just see it from a different lens. But at the same time, I have to give benefit of doubt because this whole do whatever it takes. I also need to give benefit of doubt that my leadership in the Marine Corps that I love, they did right by me, man. Mm-hmm. I've made mistakes. I've got drug into deep water to learn. I don't mean literal too, but metaphorically, yeah. I've been drug into deep water and forced with some circumstances that literally forced me to push beyond even what maybe I thought I could push beyond. Yep. And that's true leadership and mentorship, because they were still there navigating me through, almost like a showman navigating you through fucking ayahuasca.
Yeah, bro.
That's the Marine Corps.
The shaman.
The ayahuasca of the fucking Marine Corps. The ayahuasca of Captain Sacchetti.
Yeah.
Or what I know as Captain Shantosh.
These guided experiences.
It's like those guys that are like, will not give you any excuse, will not let you talk yourself out of anything, will force accountability and proficiency through you while still giving you tools and skill sets to help you navigate through, but they're not doing it for you.
Yeah.
But they're navigating you through it, right? So for me, like now that we're in real estate and we're hitting that next level of success / influence, the reason I pause is because like you innately want to react a certain way, right? Like, because you see guys not putting in the work. And that sounds brash. But it's like they're not putting in the work that they don't even know that they could be putting in. It's like they don't even know that next gear, correct?
That's what I was going
to
say. Like,
so I have to pause because it's like, man, I did have leadership correct me, hold me accountable, be hard as fuck on me, but they were still like my big brother and they still guided me, but I had to fucking do it. And then as I got better and became more successful in the Marine Corps and then through government work and police work, I grew into a whatever it takes, you know, like I think I was
true whatever it takes.
Yeah. So like today, you know, context. So just mentoring a couple young hustlers today and not just them, but some other guys, you know, at scale that we see it. It's like, I kind of want to like, hey, what are you taking my time? What the fuck are you doing right now? But I pause, right? And that's credit to maturity. That's credit to you. That's credit to Tosh. Of just, man, just be careful with like immediate reactions, right? So like, I'm not perfect. I still have some of those. But for the most part, I'm getting better at that pause before I give an immediate reaction. And I'm glad because it does help. Because no matter what you're about to say, you want it to be, whether it's kicking someone in the ass and lighting a fire under them or not, like it needs to be thought out to make sure that that delivery is appropriate and it, and the response is ideal. And that pause was good because yes, I've had people help me grow in that. So today I'm like, I'm happy, man. And I'm proud and cool because I'm able to like return that favor of what I've gotten, but it's on them. They've got to put that work in. They've got to execute the pace of it. And like I was telling one of the kiddos, I was talking to one of them today and I'm just like, hey man, where do you think all these plays in this playbook come from Will and Eli? It does not come from someone above us. Like everything we're telling you that you can go do right now, like this is because we were in it all the time, every day. Like, and you start learning. You start learning all the intangibles and not just marketing. Hey, go door knock. No. What are you saying? How are you saying it? What are you giving? How are you giving it? That's where the conversion comes from, not from door knocking. Just like social media. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, post 10 times a week. No. Mm-hmm. What are you posting? How are you posting? Why are you posting? What are you doing with people that like it? What are you doing with people that comment? Like, it's that stuff. And if you're not in it, you won't understand those intangibles. Just like a Ray Lewis or an Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you don't have the capacity and you're not in it, you're not going to figure those intangibles out that really separate. Yeah. Right? Like, look at NASCAR.
But you have to start doing that first, right? Like,
you just got to be. If you're not in it, you're not going to even be able to surface to find those. Like NASCAR drivers. Those cars in NASCAR have to be so, there's the rules and regulations for a car in NASCAR, for a race car, they're literally identical. Seriously, like the rules and regulations on how a car, like the motor, the size, the measurements, all this shit I can't even fathom, has to be exactly the same.
From car to car.
From car to car. And if it's not, you're disqualified. So then what does it come down to? The pit crew?
Drivers.
And the drivers. Yeah, variables. Human error.
Yep.
Variables. And it's like, if that pit crew doesn't work in unison and become its own elite unit. If that driver is not on a track doing certain things, learning where the ins and outs are as far as like how they can, you know, gain leads or gain position or block position. And, you know, and that's where like you want to talk to a Dale Earnhardt. Mm-hmm. You know, like Dale Earnhardt Jr. talked about when his dad finally started teaching him a couple of things. It was like he was already winning races before his dad was teaching him shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was when I was listening to Dale Earnhardt on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow. Like that dude, just the intangibles, the experience. And it's like, you don't get that without doing that. And then, yes, does his dad get to gift that down to him? Yes. But Dale Jr. still has to get on that track, find those opportunities of when his dad's been talking, and execute.
Perform, yeah.
Right? So, like, I think the pause was good today. I was a little heavy-hearted on it, but I'm excited for these kids. But I also kind of, like, I'm not scared for them. I'm excited for them, but it's like,
you know, it's going to they got a journey in front of them. They got to wait. And here's the thing I like about your pause is because, you know, what that really allows people to do then is not be so focused on this. The less they're focused on your reaction or a person's reaction, the more they can actually do that self-reflection part and look at themselves and hear what's being said versus like, you know, like just whatever that freeze is from,
especially if they haven't been around. Yeah, man, because like I can be a little brash.
Scary.
Come on.
Scary.
No. But I know what you mean, man. If you're too stern, because you know, to be assertive in a certain at a certain level, you do have to have somewhat of a relationship with that person, whether it's professional or personal. There just has to be a little bit more history there before that can actually be a good response to them. Otherwise, yeah, they might think you're angry with them or something
else. And part of the problem with success is that, man, it becomes real easy for people to look at the guys that are successful who make it look easy because they've put in the years and created systems and created this process and like just the grind that goes behind that. When things are going smoothly and at high speed, it can look like it's easy.
Glad you said that, because I get a little, we said this the other day, Alex Chapman said this on a podcast with us, you know, and it really resonated when he said, cause he gave it contextually toward your children, but also toward agents. Right. And he's like, man, like, hey, cause Alex, you know, he comes from like small beginnings, so do I. Him and I actually grew up in the same neighborhood. Not a good neighborhood, safety wise, we'll call it, right? And he's like, man, like you know, here we are and we're making it and we're successful, and you know, him and I are more successful, probably you as well, significantly more successful already right now than we ever were growing up, right? And then there's things that you want to just be able to give your kids that you never had. And that's so cool. But you also want to like, but you also understand like, hey, if my kid is soft, I'm hindering his ability to adapt and achieve his own level of success in life. And I have to find a way, like, dude, just me walking to school was friction.
Yep.
Just, you know, learning what to say and not to say in school. You know, like I couldn't just run my mouth or talk a little shit at school because I know no one's going to punch me because the dean and the counselors are going to tell our parents. And then if our parents... These motherfuckers, I don't even know if they had parents. And I'm not saying that to be condescending.
Yeah, no, for real.
Straight up, dude. Like, gangs were there. It was very it was like, you say something, you even come close to saying something to someone or about someone, they're going to come have conflict with you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, uncomfortable as that was growing up, like, I also respect a layer of that because it keeps you mindful.
Yep.
Even when you don't understand what being mindful is. Like, I know what that is now.
Yep.
When I was 15, I didn't know, oh, hey, I'm being mindful today by keeping my fucking mouth shut. Like, or if you do got something to say, just be prepared and then just handle your business. And there's a level of respect to that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he also correlated that to realtors where it's like, man, like, we're creating these free courses and we're giving the playbooks on, like, everything that we've done. But it's, and like my, I don't know if he said it, but I kind of said it to him. And it was like, yep. And it's absent the grit. Like you're giving this success step by step, but there's a level of like entitlement with people because it's like, oh, here's all the how it works. But it's minus the intuition. It's minus the, you know, when, hey, I could tell you exactly what to say, but it coming from me and it coming from you, it's not even on the same planet because like when people speak to me about real estate, it's vetted.
Yep.
Versus you're not vetted. You're just regurgitating, you know, so, and I'm not, and we don't even do scripts. So I'm not mentioning scripts, but even just like the playbooks, man, are just putting deals and certain things in front of people. It's like, man, I want to do that because I didn't have that grinding out through real estate But shit, is not having that and me grinding that what created me having it in the first place? So then you have to be careful of, like, you want to give, but giving back, rewarding, however you want to frame it up, can actually be counterproductive for people coming through. So, like, I feel like my thought process goes to, like, I want to help. I want to create the, you know, the platforms and I want to give some how-tos away on how to do it. And then, well, yeah, Will, but you just said people might, yep. So it becomes more on the leadership, if you're going to do that, to really assess who's still finding the grit and the whatever it takes to capitalize on what they're doing. Because those are the ones that you want to pour into and give your time to, versus the ones that keep finding excuses or questioning things that they haven't even tried, or they try something for 30 days and it's not working, so they're questioning it. And it's like, you're minus the grit.
Yep.
You're minus the work ethic. You're minus the tenacity. You're minus the whatever it takes. You're pointing, right? Like,
man, that's the part of giving all the shit away or creating the resources that I like the most. Because when you take the what do I do off the table, people, and you give that to people and they're still not having success, then they're like, okay, well, finally, I'm doing, I know what it is I need to do. It still is not working. It's got to be me. And the answer is it's always you. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, finally, by getting that part out of the table, it takes that question away, and then it leaves them no other option but to finally look at themselves and start making the changes within themselves. And then they'll see, hey, the what has been here, like, all along. It's really just allowing, again, that pain threshold to get high enough to where they're finally willing to make those changes with themselves personally.
And you just got to do the work, man. Like, there's just, because it, the work, it creates who you need to be.
Yeah.
In order to respond to the people that you need to respond to, you know, like with our YouTube channel, like, you got people advertising now, like, hey, you guys can make YouTube ads and just put it on YouTube channels, you know, like, there's that gimmick out there. And I've spoken to a couple guys that are doing some digital marketing, and they seem like solid dudes, you know? So it's like, it's no, you know, it's no bad blood. It's no negativity, you know, but they're, you know, there's some guys out there that market to realtors that, hey, realtors, and, you know, you can, instead of, like, building your own channel and doing all this sweat equity and whatever, hey, look at, you know, Will and Eli's channel. Look at this other channel. You could just put your realtor video ad on their videos. Oh my God. And it's like, hey man, we deal with several hundred clients a year from our channel. They just laugh at commercials that are on our channel because they know what it is. It's poaching. You're trying to shortcut and use your little advertisement with a video to poach our body of work. And what most people don't understand about YouTube, because they don't do it, is they're like diehard football fans.
Yeah.
If they are a Will and Eli fan, no other realtor making a 30-second video commercial to poach our body of work is clicking on that to go use them. There is no conversion. Matter of fact, they actually tell us about it and laugh about it and thank us even more for our commitment to the body of work.
Yeah, they'll wait the 5 seconds, hit the skip button, and watch our shit.
Right. And it's like, and even like with Jesse and Jackson, man, giving us the idea of like, hey guys, we're doing YouTube. You guys are all over social. You guys should do YouTube like we do YouTube. Here's the framework. So they had a framework of success. We still had to go figure it out with what works for us, what doesn't work for us within the framework.
Yep.
There's a framework on how to be a quarterback.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger are not the same quarterback. Michael Vick and John Elway are not the same quarterback. So even when you have framework, it can't be absent of work, because there will still be individuality, individual circumstances, the way you deliver, the audience you're speaking to. Those are just different elements, which means, like, if you're not putting in the work, you won't be able to pivot and react or respond to your data that you're getting, because you're not putting in the work. That's also your baseline. Just like science class, when you're testing different ingredients and what's working, what's not working, there has to be
a neutral.
Your work can, because if you're not putting in the work, it's like, well, is it not working, or is it that you're not putting in the work? And if you are putting in the work, then we can discuss pivots and certain things, right? Like, there's just stuff there, you know, and it's like, man, I love that people want to start doing video ads and promoting on YouTube. And I'm like, hey, if you guys actually knew YouTube and behavioral patterns and where YouTube creates their analytics from, you would know where to go put your realtor ad. And you would know what ads work on realtor pages. But putting a realtor on a realtor page, nah, man, like, it's
when someone's already said, hey, this is my person. I'm watching their channel. I'm subscribed to their channel.
But here's the thing. And this is what goes into like hypotheticals or people that can't do, they try to teach. On the surface, like that sounds like a good idea. But because you haven't been at scale and because you've never dealt with clients on the back end and through conversion like we have, you don't actually know that clients just laugh at that and there's not conversion. And I don't even know if those guys care if there's conversion or they just like that they've got paying clients bringing them stuff so they can go do their ads. Right? Like, do you actually care about the betterment of agents or are you just trying to funnel people into your digital ad agency and say, look how many people watched?
Yep.
Yeah, because they had Cheetos on their hands while they were watching YouTube and they couldn't skip in the first 3 seconds. So it took them 19 seconds to skip it because they needed to wash their hands right quick. Or like they were talking to their significant, like, do you know how many times I forget to hit skip on a YouTube ad? Infrequently.
Yep.
But especially when I do forget,
on the TV or something.
When I do forget, it's not because I'm watching. Yep. And more importantly, man, like we get the data from our clients, man. Like it's real. And for me, it's like, hey, look, if agents actually think that works, do it. And here's my thing. If it actually worked, do you understand that that's Will and Eli's page and we know people advertise on our videos? Do you understand that we could just buy our own ad space?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know we could just buy the ad space to our channel and just pay a nickel more than the next person and we would just have all of our ads on it? And my ads would just be saying, thank you for watching. Super apologize for any other commercials you're getting on here. Click the link below for our buyer's guide if you'd like. Mm-hmm. We'll see you here in 3 seconds because you're probably skipping us too.
Yep.
See ya, right? Like, cool, man. And then people would just have a great... laugh with us because we're buying up art and protecting our page. It's not that, like, that's just what you do. Yep. So Will, why don't you do that? Because it doesn't, like, because why would I spend money to protect my page when you guys doing it is just showing your ass. Mm-hmm. You're showing that you're poaching. You're doing something that doesn't convert. So why would I go spend my money protecting my channel against something that doesn't convert?
That isn't harmful.
If anything, you're and here's the problem. When they click your ad, does it go to your website? Does it go to your YouTube channel? You don't have one. Right, you're just using another landing page that digital ad agencies create. Mm-hmm. Hey, you can run your ads off of my channel that has 25 subscribers and 12 other people on it. That's not even related to you, so there's no personal brand. Or where does it go to your website? What's your website look like? The MLS? That's cute. Mm-hmm. It's just not even, if anything, like you're just giving context and you're showing how well we do what we do. And it gives more appreciation to our clients because of the body work. But it's the work.
Yeah.
And it's how we speak on camera. It's how we answer questions. It's how we digest content and explain things and articulate. You get there by being in it, not by having someone hand you a playbook. Like,
well, and here's why you're always going to see that shit is the same reason that they're 6 minute abs. Like, it's not sexy marketing. Hey, you've got to eat this diet. You've got to do this cardio. You've got to do this over a fucking year. And you might have abs at the end of it.
And dude,
that's the reality.
Here's what's so crazy. Here's what amazes me about humans. Okay. Like humans are so amazing. It makes me want to slam my dick in the door. Right.
I love when you say that.
Because we are amazing. But at the same time, every single person that buys the diet pill or buys the program for 6 minute abs knows you're not getting 6 minute abs in 6 minutes. And then the argument would be, no, Will, we know it's not.
But this is something new.
I know.
This is something new.
And then you also tell them, like, hey, bro. It might
be different.
Even 6 minutes every single day is not going to get you abs. Even 6 minutes three times a day is not going to give you abs, man. Like, and I feel like in the back of everyone's mind, they fucking know it, but they still commit to it. They're still committing to a shortcut versus just, all right, let me face the music. But that's where, like, a lifestyle change. That's where, like, when I say people don't change until it's too painful not to. Heard that from my buddy Kurt. It's, you just got to get there. So when people are trying to do, and dude, I love that agents want to brand themselves and do ads, whether it's social media, YouTube. 70,000 people moved to Colorado last year. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about, oh, if somebody puts an ad on mine or if someone makes a YouTube channel, like, oh, that's going to cut into my business. Mm-mm. No, man, it's video. Mm-hmm. People watch ours, people that were their people. And they know, like, and trust us, and they appreciate our videos, they choose us. And if there's another channel out there that has a different approach to it, and you speak different, and you are different because you're your own human, and people gravitate to you, have at it. Because I know we're not getting everybody.
Yep.
No one, no, nothing gets everything in this world, right?
Yep.
So cool. So I'm excited for it. I want people to grow. I just want people to understand and grow the right way and have integrity behind. If you're leading or selling, have integrity behind what you're pitching. In addition to that, and by having integrity, it means you should have context that you've done it and you can show conversion.
Mm-hmm.
If someone else can show conversion, but you can't, then you can't just go regurgitating other people's crap. And more importantly, some of this shit just doesn't convert. And that's the digital world. You know, but like, just as much as you can frame it up to digital marketers saying that stuff, it's like, yeah, but it's also on realtors for looking for
100%
a shorter cut way to do it. If you want to buy into that and you want those dudes to take your money so you can go make an ad on my channel and people can thank us for our body of work, if you believe that, well, hey, man, all for it. But at some point, everyone has to get to their whole, I'm done spending time and money on shortcuts, and I got to get around the right people to be influenced, because I promise you, learning how to lead or just learning how to execute at a high level as an individual, it is not a, here's a book on it. Mm-hmm. It is not a, here's a 30-day transformation. No, you got to be around a circle and be influenced by other humans that are consistently doing that, because the learning curve for you growing as a human, it's a constant level of influence. And just, even if they're not directly speaking to you, just being around, just being in the atmosphere of what they're doing will really change some of your perspectives, you know? So like, until they, people start getting to that point, they're doing that. But if you're doing that, hey, that's on you, because I know, like, in the back of your mind, the 6-minute abs, the, hey, these guys that do all this work, just throw an ad on it. Look, dude, in the back of your mind, you fucking know better.
I don't think they do until they've done something, until they've achieved some level of success. Like for me, like, dude, like when we were doing like bodybuilding shows and stuff, it was like, man, once I finally got shredded, like for real fucking shredded, I was like, oh, I'm never doing this again. Like this is, I found out what it takes.
Here's what's so funny.
Like I'm never doing this again.
Then you start telling everybody the truth because you're now baptized. And then the people that are around you, they go, come on, man, for real. Yep. Just tell me, you taking steroids?
Yep.
No, come on. Like, but there was a, oh, you just did all the real work? Okay, but there was like a diet pill involved, right? Like, come on. Like,
dude.
You're like, dude. No, but like now people think you're a fucking
sellout.
That's
why I want people to do that. Fuck, everyone should do steroids so you can see how little it actually changed. Oh, now you just have a bloated fucking face. Okay,
dude, yeah. I don't know if most people don't realize, like, hey, bro, testosterone is a cholesterol.
Yeah, dude.
So if you eat a fuck ton of dumb shit because you think because you're on that shit, you're going to get, no, bro, you're going to get super inflamed.
Here's the other part.
Red.
The other mindset shift that I had, man, was, I had early in my entrepreneurial journey, I'm still early, but earlier in my entrepreneurial journey, I had this mindset that, again, probably because certain guys make it look easy, but I had this mindset that as I'm getting more and more successful, there's less and less that I'm having to do, and I'm less busy or less this or less
there's
that.
There's just more, it's more deliberate. There's more intention behind your thought process and where you take action.
Well, again, just by doing it, what I realized is, no, it's the exact opposite. Like even these guys, the ones that make it look real easy, even these guys that have people for fucking everything, they're slammed. Like they're busy as shit. And really what it took was me getting around some key people that were running companies and stuff that I'm like, oh, you're not out. How is this realtor out playing fucking golf 4 days a week? But you, who's making $10 million a year, your calendar is 5 a.m. to fucking 9 p.m. at night of meetings and shit. Like, how was that? Oh, I get it. That's how you're that successful. You know, like that's what it fucking takes.
The work doesn't stop. It just changes.
I had that mindset shift of like, man, no, the more time you have off, that doesn't mean you're more successful. Like I had some sort of correlation. And I think that's what a lot of these people have of like, they just assume that the guy that's super in shape, oh, he don't need to work out that much anymore because he's in shape. No, he's fucking crushing it more than anyone to maintain that.
If anything, it takes that much more to get his body to respond. You got to go that much harder just to get some progress out of it.
Yeah, like he's dieting harder than anyone. He's lifting harder than anyone. Like that's what it fucking takes. Like,
but also, if he has a cheat meal once a week, it doesn't fuck with him.
Correct.
So when Dwayne The Rock Johnson eats his fucking pancakes, right? Like maybe it's steroids. Maybe that's involved. I don't know. He's a big fucker. I don't know.
Part of it.
The bottom line is he fucking works so hard. That one meal or two meals he decides to fuck off and have, his body burns right through that shit because of the momentum that he's built.
So that's when we're showing these people, and that's one thing, you know, I could be better at, man, is just showing a lot of these people that we're around.
You have to.
Dude, like when, and not bragging, not complaining, not anything, it just is what it is. Like when we're not physically on appointments or talking with agents in person or over Zoom or whatever, literally every other second of the fucking day, you're doing something for or on the business.
That's it. And then, like, I'm home with family.
Yeah.
Same
like,
with you.
Dude, that's it. Like, there's nothing else right now.
Right.
There's really not.
And I also think that, like, It's kind of just who we are, man. You know, like I think at some point, you know, you've either got it in you or not. Because I do think you can grow into whatever it takes. I think everyone's individual whatever it takes mentality can increase, right? As you learn how to go dark, right? Like you want to go to do a diesel day with Brian Shontosh. You'll fucking learn you got more in you than you think, right? Mm-hmm. That's a great platform for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think coupled with that is the ambition. You've got to have the ambition, and it's just got to kind of mean you like, I don't know, and this is one of the hardest questions for me is like, you know, like, hey, man, what keeps you going or whatever? Like, I don't know, bro. I wake up. I usually take a shit. I wash my hands. I brush my teeth. I wash my face. I walk to the kitchen, and I start drinking pre-workout. I
do things.
Yeah, but like, why? Like, what do you mean, why? Because that's just what's on the docket. So, yeah. But I think the only way I can answer it is like, look, dude, quitting is off the table. If I have a planned day off from the gym, which is very rare, it's usually because we're just busy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we got to be somewhere at 7 a.m. I'm not a 4 a.m. guy. All right, cool. I haven't taken a day off from the gym in 13 days. Oh, cool. Today will be the day off.
Yep.
So usually my days off from the gym just kind of filter in what we're doing. My diet, like, kind of intentional. I'm down, I don't know, 45 pounds from where I used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I'm still going down. Could I be more strict with it? Yep. But I just haven't put the ambition behind it. Like I'm strict as I want to be and it's working and I'm good with it. And I don't have the ambition. It's not the how to anymore. It's like, I don't have the ambition to like go uber crazy with like pulling water out of my body and low carbohydrate or whatever. Like, but what I do is adequate to where like the pace that I'm losing weight with is now I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of integrity behind that. Right. Because it's like, hey, I do happen to have the ambition and the grind or the grit to like go do what we're doing right now. And it doesn't feel hard to go do it. There are things that we have to do that are hard, but it's not hard to make the decision to like get after it every day.
And when Will says that, it's like, is there other stuff I personally would rather be doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's not.
Kind of. I don't know. Yes. In the short frame.
Mm-hmm.
But in the bigger picture, bro, I want to fucking build a dynasty.
Yeah.
Fuck I'm at like all these guys that are ahead or above, like, man, I want to fuck all you do. I don't want to tear anyone down. But like, we've got friends, you know, like, I don't need to say their names. They're our friends. And I'm not trying to tear any of them down, but I do want to build beyond you. I do want to fucking, I do want to crush. I do love respect in the business world. I do, man, I'm so ambitious about it. And I think I get so focused on the bigger picture and what Brian Shontosh would say, remembering the future, right? I get so focused on that I can't even remember whether I want to work today or not until the day's done, I guess, because I'm so focused on remembering the future and what it's going to take to get there and influencing. Like, I'm so focused on the work. I'm not handcuffed by the thoughts of whether I want to do it or not.
Yeah. Man, rewind like 100 years or so. If you woke up and had to like get yourself pumped up or get yourself motivated,
you'd be fucking dead.
If you're not planting your fucking fields, if you're not like harvesting what you sow, if you're not getting out there and hunting for your food, yeah, you're fucking dead. Literally, you're dead.
No, literally, like you or your family's dead. And so
I don't look at any different. You know, like right now, if I get up and don't go do the things that I need to do for that day, we're fucking dead.
Yeah, like you and I make good money, but we ain't got fuck you money.
Yeah, no.
We ain't got this whole we're done working, like we could just stop doing anything and like the money keeps rolling in. We ain't there yet. And I'd venture to say, man, you know, like we talked to Jay Kinder and had him on the podcast. Cool dude. And I would call his money fuck you money. Maybe he wouldn't because he's got his own level of success, his own ambition of what he takes to get there. But out of everyone that I've met that's got Jay Kinder type of money or more, the type of person it takes to build that is not the type of person that's just going to build that and quit.
Mm-mm.
It's just not in him. Like, Jay's still doing stuff. He's ambitious. He's putting his money and investing and doing different things. So like the mind shift may, or the direction may shift where you're putting your money or your time or whatever may shift. But being proactive, like even if he got out of real estate, as in like not training agents, he'd be investing his money. Like, well, he already is. He'd be doing something that's still building his empire.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, like some of our other friends that make significant money, it's not in like, and I'm a firm believer of that, who like, whatever it takes to build that level of success financially or in business or as an athlete, you got to be a strong enough person to get there. I just don't think that type of person that can build that has any foresight on like just quitting life, you know,
well,
and like sitting, drinking a fucking Mai Tai on a beach forever. Take a week or two.
It takes
just
on, like,
yeah, no, man, I just can't wait to turn 65, build this dynasty and then drink a Mai Tai for the rest of my life. I've heard people kind of like joke, but not joke when they say that. And if that's in your mind before you even began, like you're not the dude that's calloused enough or will be able to be calloused enough to actually build it, man. I don't think so.
No, no. And taking that same bodybuilder analogy, you look at the guy that's like, you know, I can't remember what comedian it was, but man, I wish I could remember. But he made a joke about like the bodybuilder dude at the gym where he's like, hey, bro, you won. Like, you can go home now. Like, you're done. The gym's done. Like, you did it. You know, like, go home. And
it's Bill Burr.
At that point, I think it is. At that point, man, it's like it's taken on something completely different.
Yeah.
You're not trying to get shredded. It's the gym is something totally different at that point.
Now, the only time I would disagree with that bodybuilder is like, hey, if you're still living in your mom's basement.
Yeah.
Or have no relationships with people or whatever.
Still think you can be Mr. Olympia.
Maybe, but like, regardless of that, I just feel like you got to be careful, right? Because like, over-indexing in one thing to the level to where you're absent in others is not.
You see that in business. You see that in fitness. You see that in parenting.
Like our business success, we're gonna go where we want to go, right? Mm-hmm. We're doing the right things, but I'm not gonna do certain things at the sacrifice of my family.
Nope.
I get my family.
Nope.
I get my kids for a couple hours a night, and then if I got to get back to work or throw out some messages on Instagram or build relationships, like, hey, cool, I get back to that once you're in bed. But like, I would not get so toxic to where I'm not present or I'm not doing certain things to where like my family would not even want me around because I've let them down in that lane, right? Like, nope, not happening. So it's that, like, yeah, man, like just over-indexing so far for the sake of the success in that lane, but it's absent of other things. And I honestly don't think you need to do that to be, and I don't know, I only know me. Well, I know us and our success. You know, so maybe that's just a character flaw. Maybe it's just people working on their self-growth in addition to their business growth, and like they're not even identifying how absent they are. But yeah, like you can't. So that's where I get concerned with people.
And dude, just to reiterate, man, you see that across all things. Like I'll see people that they are, they have all these dreams and aspirations with their fitness or their business, but then they put so much weight on the family side. Not that that shouldn't have weight, but they put so much weight on parenting that it's like, hey, bro, you're never going to achieve any of these other things.
That's where the barometer comes into play, right? That's where like, you know, like, because you got to understand phases too. Like, are you and I going to have more times with our kids 3 years from now than right now? Probably, because the hits that we're making are so much heavier. And we schedule things, we do events, we're like, yeah, like we probably will. But in the very beginning when we were building real estate, dude, I didn't even get home until 10 o'clock every single night. And we worked every weekend and we still work. You and I are usually working one of the days on a weekend and it's all good. But we still have time. And there's sometimes we're like, we might be slow during the week and we get a little bit more time with kiddos. And then, hey, cool, right? Like, it all comes in phases. But like, if you're trying to be balanced in the beginning with like, okay, if I'm giving 40, you know, this many hours to work, I need this many hours with family. And like, I got to be home every night at 5 o'clock from 5 to 8, I have to be with my kids no matter what. It's like, well, okay, man, like I appreciate that initiative. However, you're not going to build, man. Like there are some hard lines in business.
And you have to be okay with that.
Depending on the type of business you're building. If you're building an e-commerce business or something, I can't speak to that. If you're building a real estate brand or real estate business, your time is worth shit. Or excuse me, your time is all you have. You know, like, so if clients have to go out and you're showing them homes after they're getting off work, which means that 4 to 8 is a heavy time for work, you're not there. But you've got to be able to sacrifice to build your brand and build your business to implement and then put other people into your business to where someone else can have a turn. You're giving them business an opportunity to go do some deals, but they're the ones taking those deals at certain times. And then you now have a little bit more decisions as far as like, where you decide to implement yourself into the business. But you've got to be able to build it. And if you're trying to have your cake and eat it too at the same time, it just won't work. And hey, that's okay. Because look, dude, guys like me, guys like you that bleed for this shit, that are in it, like, we're just going to win. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I just mean like, hey, you can do that all you want, but like, there's real people that are taking this extremely serious, that want to build a brand, that want to execute, that do understand these are the most expensive buys and sells of people's lives. And they're in it for their own ambition in addition to that. And they want clients to trust and be taken care of the right way. Dude, I don't, you know, and this is no disrespect to people. I don't like part-time agents. I don't. And I don't care whoever wants to come in here onto this podcast and tell me that a part-time agent can do a great job, I'm going to tell you to your face, you don't know what you don't know. If you're going to justify a part-time agent and call it a great job, two things. You either don't understand what the word great means, okay, and you're speaking loosely, or you just have no context on what actual great dudes do. Because then you just don't understand how much separation there is between guys that are great at this and people that do it part-time. Because there's even people that do it full-time that can't figure it out. So if someone were to tell
most
me...
most of them.
Yeah, so if someone tells me, like, hey, they do it part-time, and, well, they're great. No. And it's like you don't even know... No, they can be just as good. You don't know what just as good is. You don't know what top 0.5%, top 1% worldwide dudes do. So you can't even speak to it. That's like me going to Taco Bell saying Mexican food is amazing. No, bro. Oh, come on. Taco Bell is just as good as real Mexican food.
Yeah.
What? Have you even had...
You got
had
beans, real, you got a tortilla.
Have you even had real Mexican food? Yeah, like, come on, bro. It's got beans, got tortilla. Like, nah, dude. Taco Bell is the bomb. Listen, bro.
Yeah.
You can compare that Taco Bell to other fast foods. You cannot compare that to great Mexican food. Yep. But if you've never had it, how can you speak to it? And that's where it gets dangerous. And then when people want to defend or want to speak up and say things like a part-time agent can be this, I'm almost questioning like why you're saying that. Are you a part-time agent? Are you saying that the part-time agent can be great because inadvertently like that's what you're doing and you're trying to justify it or make it okay? And the reason why I disagree with it, it's not because I'm telling people they and bossing them around, you should go be full-time and I dictate your life. It's not that. Here's what it is, though. Whether you're full-time, part-time, whether you suck, whether you're great, people are trusting you with the most expensive sells and buys of their lives. And it's a very serious business.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's exciting. You're meeting people in very happy times of their life because for the majority, people are buying and selling homes for great reasons. And it's very fun. It's very happy. But it's a very serious thing. It's a huge transaction. Usually it's year-to-date the most expensive transaction. Even people we help at $3-4 million.
Lifetime to date.
Year-to-date, it's their
lifetime most expensive.
Right. Yeah, not even just year. You're right, lifetime. So it's like, hey, I want to have fun. I want to engage with my clients, but I'm there to represent them. I'm there to advise them, and I'm there to do a great fucking job, bottom line. And if that's the standard because it's people's lives, I mean, no one's getting shot at, don't get me wrong. But there's money involved. You could lose someone at home.
Dude, you're handling...
Like, you want a part-time cop? We've already seen what full-time cops are.
Dude, you're responsible for making sure that wire transfers in the amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars go to the right place.
Yeah.
Like, one number's wrong, bye-bye.
Inspections go to the right
place. Bye-bye.
Yeah, because, like, dude, like, there's just a lot there, and I think we take a lot of pride in what we do, but I also think that it takes a lot of pride and a lot of professionalism to be good at this. And every time people ask me how real estate is in Colorado, I say it's good if you're good.
Yep.
This is the second hottest market in the country, and it's good if you're good. Mm-hmm. If it's not, you're going to drown. And more importantly, like, hey, get over yourself. Why would you ever want to be a part-time and expect people to use you if you're not even, like, if you're not even at a level of professionalism to be trusted with that? And here's the deal. If you're part-time because you're trying to work your way into full-time, I'm all for it, and that's cool. You better make sure you're putting yourself around people that are full-time that can help mentor you and guide deals, so if you do get yourself where you're unknown or whatnot, someone is there as like a safety net to make sure that deals don't explode or a home that isn't a good home or that does have issues that you guys missed and there should have been a structural engineer going in there, but you didn't catch up on certain things and your novice inspector, that because that's the only one you know, didn't catch it. Hey, those are important. And if you have people around you that are full-time, that have great people around them, they can... It allows you to exercise and get better and work into full-time without sacrificing the future of a client's situation with the home they're selling or buying. Because you can't, like, you can't risk the deal. You can't risk the client. So you need people around you that are going to prevent you from doing that, right?
Well, like, and the same thing goes just from a different angle to people that are in new leadership positions, running a team. Maybe they own a team. Maybe they're managing a team. We're not talking transactions and inspections and stuff right now, but man, when you have these people that are reliant on you to make sure that they're not getting in this trouble, that they're going to be growing their business and they're putting their trust in money and you and your company, but maybe you're not taking these additional steps to build systems of process, to learn how to be a real leader, to learn how to handle agents' emotions and like just everything that goes into running a team. That's a completely different,
you just got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. And this is where I'm extremely humble. because I take the job that serious, because I understand how important it is for us to execute for people, mm-hmm. you know? And like, I remember Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. He was talking on a video one time about, you know, when he was a young player, they were in the playoffs and he had 4 air balls in a row mm-hmm. and they lost the game, you know? And like, can't remember if he was talking to Patrick Bet-David on an interview and they're like, yeah, what was that like? And all the media, all the public coming down on you. And he's like, coming down on me? Why am I so important? I let all these players down. The city of LA, like, dude, get over yourself. You're not that important. He said, I realized what was wrong. All of my shots were straight. Hmm. They were straight. They fell short. Hmm. And he goes, I went from playing high school basketball where we played 35 games, 32 games, to I'm playing 70-something games over here, plus playoffs. And like, hey, I didn't have the legs for it.
Yep.
I wasn't getting up off the floor. I was fatigued. I didn't have the legs for it. So you know what I did? I got stronger legs.
Yep.
But it was cool because he's like, hey, get over yourself. You're not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to make sure that I'm adequate in my position because people are trusting me with those shots I was taking and missing, and I got to get better. This ain't about me. And it's the same thing, man, with realtors or anyone else. Like, it's not about you. It's client-based, mm-hmm. fucker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The only thing when it comes to you is how professional and adequate your skill sets and commitment and whatever it takes mentality to get it done, not only to chase your own ambition, but to do right by clients, because that's the only way this works, man. You don't get to chase your ambition in real estate if you mm-hmm. suck,
mm-hmm.
because it will come out. If you're not good at what you do, you're not making money because you're not converting deals. Like, your success is a byproduct of creating success for other people.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Winning that home,
yeah.
selling that home, making a family happy, allowing people to trust you, executing a deal, not only just winning it under contract, but executing it properly and getting to the finish line time after time after time, client after client after client, mm-hmm. making them successful in life. You won that offer. Cool. And by the way, your reputation does matter. We've had agents call us when we've got offers in, and as we call them, they know who we are, or we've done a deal with them before, and they trust our word of getting things done. And yes, when you work with a lot of sellers, it's not just the highest price. That's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But they are not going to risk it on you if there's other things that are sketchy there, or if you mm-hmm. can't confirm your appraisal gap and everything else, or if your realtor sucks at communication, if your lender doesn't understand the right things to have a conversation with a listing agent, or doesn't call, or there's a gap in communication, they're losing hope in whatever pretty offer you think you got. They need to trust that this will get done as frictionless and as smooth as possible mm-hmm. because they also need a win. That seller needs a win so they can then go move into their next chapter of life. And they need to, it's like coming through halftime, but you're ahead on the game.
Yep,
or going into the next game, but you won the last game. They need a win right now, and they're going to ride that win into their next win. And that's what this is, man. Like, so our ambition, you're nice. Dude, it's huge. I've got so much ambition, and we've got so much more gas in the tank. But our success, or the success we want from our ambition, is predicated on helping clients and helping other agents, right? Because we coach agents now, right?
Yep.
Like, and we help team leaders. Like, their success, other agents' success, dictates our success.
Absolutely, yeah.
Buyers and sellers' success dictates our success. Mm-hmm. And you need to understand that. So if you think you got a whatever it takes mentality, if you got a lot of ambition for more, align that.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
helping everyone else win is what gets you your win. Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. So, I don't know.
And push yourself. Put yourself around. People are going to push you because
you got, truly, yes, you
your
grow into it.
Truly your whatever you're giving it all is. I promise you, it's not enough. You need to expand that,
and you know what? We say that to ourselves too. By the way, like
it does.
Full context.
Well, like, just you and I. We push each other. We're constantly like expanding our.
And there's people ahead of
like,
us.
Whatever
like,
it takes,
we see what they're doing, and we go, "Wow, we could still be doing so much more."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, and that's cool. That's a cool place to be because one. Yes, it's frustrating because you're like, fuck, we could. Mm-hmm. But two, it's like, but it's possible because you're seeing other guys do it and you see how they scale and how they leverage different things to where it doesn't take more of their time, which lets them put time into something else and you start learning. But you have to grow into it, man. And I can't tell you how many times, you probably know, maybe not that many, maybe a handful of times I've been told by young bucks or whatever that they're going to be a top producer or mm-hmm. or this or that. And I love the spirit of competition. I love that people want to compete. My only thing to that is like, hey, if you say that to me, because I'm very careful if I even say that to someone, mm-hmm. right? But if you're saying that to someone, if you're new in the game and you're saying that to someone, do you even understand what you're saying?
No.
Like, do you even know everything about what those guys are doing or where they're at to even
no.
have any context of saying that? And why are you so quick to say that? Gary Vee talks about that when, like, because he talks about buying the Jets. And he's like, yeah, dude, I'm gonna buy the Rams. And he's like, why are you saying that? Yep. And he's like, yeah. And then I go to your Instagram account, and you're fucking skiing on the weekends.
Yep.
Are you just talking shit? Are you just saying it for the sake of saying it? Because, look, I'm not saying it for the sake of saying it. And, like, I feel like you and I are the same way. We're like, hey, man, you can tell me that all you want. But, like, you saying that because it's just fun to say? Because I'm not in this game for that. I'm here to win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and you've tasted winning, and you know what it is.
Yep.
That's why you don't say that shit. Because, again, man, some 17-year-old kid saying he's going to be Mr. Olympia. Cool, bro.
I hope you make it. Cool. Because you know what? Some guys that talk it into reality, maybe they can. I don't know. But I think I just get a little, not disheartened, but I'm excited for some of the guys that have been around us because they have the whole, hey, whatever it takes. And I think that they have it in them, but they've got to grow their threshold for it. And I'm excited to see where they take that.
Mm-hmm. Man, that shit is so easy to say. Mm-hmm. Anything's easy to say. I can squat 1,000 pounds, Will. Okay, go squat 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking different, huh?
But more importantly, like, the reason why your circle is so important is, and by the way, make sure you're earning your circle. If you're putting yourself into a circle, there's a lot of talk. I'll leave everybody with this. There's a lot of talk about fixing your circle and putting yourself around the right people and level up. Hey, the right people aren't just letting you into their circle. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't just walk into a circle because, oh, that's a better circle over there. Hey, my circle's not doing me right. I'm going to go to that circle over there. And, and they just let you walk in?
Yeah.
No. You're at fucking arm's reach at best.
You need value.
For a little while. So just make sure if you do have an opportunity to be in a better circle that influences you and pushes you, make sure you're earning your keep by going and doing what they're pouring into you to go do. Mm-hmm. If you're going to pick and choose, that circle's not going to have you,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
mm-hmm.
like, you just have to understand, like, as much as we all want a better circle per se, make sure you're not the one everybody's trying to fucking kick out.
Yep.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Out.
Good podcast.
Later.
Day $1.00.
Gator.
Later. Later, guys.
See ya.
Came up from nothing. I can never take a day off.